as an employer, I would say just keep challenging yourself and the staff. How are we going to find the best people? Where are some of the people that left us working today? And have we built a good network? And are we in constant communication? Are we truly spending 52 weeks a year recruiting?
Welcome back to Future Proof, friends. I'm Bill Sheridan. I am your host. Today, what are we going to talk about today? Today, we're going to talk about the elephant in the room, or what my boss, Tom Hood, would call the dead moose in the room, that thing that's stinking up the joint, but nobody wants to do anything about, or more to the point, nobody knows what to do about it, right? It's talent. How do you find it? How do you keep it? How do you set your organization apart from all the others out there so people want to work for you, right? And it's a problem. Check that. It's a huge problem. Here's why. In three short words, 1.5. That's the unemployment rate for accountants and auditors, 1.5%. The national average is 3.7%. Know what that means? It means it's more than twice as hard for you to find great employees than anybody else. And, you know, welcome to reality, people. And reality continues to get more and more harsh. 10,000 baby boomers reach retirement age every single day. That means one of two things. One, they're retiring, right? See ya. Goodbye. Sayonara. And they're taking all of their wisdom and experience with them. Or two, it means they're continuing to work, which means your younger professionals have fewer opportunities to advance their careers, which means they're more likely to look elsewhere for those opportunities. So either way, in that scenario, you're screwed, right? So yeah, from a people perspective, we're dealing with a lot of crap these days, and it's not getting any easier. So with that in mind, I'm thrilled to have Paul McDonald on the show this week. Paul is Senior Executive Director at Robert Half, which specializes in the placement of professionals in the accounting and finance, technology, legal, creative, and administrative fields. Paul has more than 30 years in the recruiting field, and he's advised thousands of company leaders and job seekers on how to hire and how to get hired. So he's definitely the person we want to be talking to about our talent woes. We'll get to that interview here in just a couple of moments. First, though, let me tell you that this week's show is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. Now, back to the job market. If you're looking for a job, the world is your oyster, friends. You've almost got your pick. If you're good at what you do, trust me, you won't have to wait long for the offers to start rolling in. But if you're looking to hire new talent, well, that's a different story. Like I said earlier, there are way more openings out there than there are candidates. And that's true throughout the profession. I mentioned the unemployment rate for accountants and auditors sits at 1.5%, but it's just as low for other related occupations, right? According to Robert Half, the unemployment rate for billing and posting clerks is 1%. For financial managers, it's 1.2%. For financial analysts, 1.4%. And for bookkeeping, accounting, and auditing clerks, 1.8%. Now, you know, it remains to be seen what automation will eventually do to those unemployment rates, of course. But for the time being, we're talking essentially full employment. So what's an organization in search of accounting and finance talent to do? Well, this comes straight from a Robert Half article titled, How to Make the Accountant Unemployment Rate Work for You. I'm reading straight from that article. It reads, quote, "In this job market, employers are having difficulty finding top talent in finance and accounting, so they must broaden their candidate search and adjust their hiring criteria," so says Steve Saw, executive director of Robert Half Finance and Accounting. If you're a hiring manager, Saw offers this advice, okay? Narrow your hiring criteria to the most critical attributes. Be more flexible. If you're unable to find someone who perfectly matches the job description but does have the soft skills to succeed in the role, you may be able to provide them with on-the-job education and training opportunities to fill in what's missing. Another tip is to expand your reach. Cast a wide net and augment your efforts by doing some extra networking and tapping your existing employees as resources for referrals. Consider working with a specialized staffing agency that can help you find skilled professionals who are not actively seeking work, but would jump at the right position if it came along. And most importantly, don't wait. Says Sa, organizations must move as quickly as possible in their interview process and hiring. Top candidates have options and won't wait long for the business to make a decision. End quote. Now, time for some more advice from this week's guest. Again, he's Paul McDonald, Senior Executive Director at Robert Half. And we touched on all of it, right? Hiring advice, how recruitment and retention has changed in a world of exponential change. Best practices for retaining talent once you find them, and what young professionals should be doing to get a leg up on their job searches, right? We kind of covered it all in this conversation. And if you're struggling with a talent dilemma, just like everyone else, you'll want to keep listening. There's some great advice here. Without further delay, then, here is Paul McDonald. Paul, where are you from originally?
I'm originally from upstate New York and grew up in the Buffalo area, born in Niagara Falls, New York, but spent 11 years in the southern tier down by Corning, Elmira area. My dad transferred, yeah.
That's my old stomping grounds. You know where Cuba is, right?
Oh, exactly, yeah. It's close to where I went to university, St. Bonaventure University.
Oh, you were Bonas. All right, you went to Bonas. That's awesome. Yeah, we grew up going to Bonas basketball games all the time. We are big Bonas fans. So
yeah, I diverted from the family history of, you know, there's a little three, Canisius, Niagara, and Bonaventure. And,
right.
You know, my mom went to Niagara and Canisius. My father went to Niagara. So I had to, fill out the three-legged stool, so to speak. I wasn't very popular there for a while.
I was going to say, that must have made for interesting basketball games when the little three would play each other.
Yeah.
As far as talent staffing goes, let's start with the obvious. I mean, this is a top concern of CPA firms of all sizes, right? Finding qualified staff is the number one issue for pretty much every firm size segment, except for sole practitioners. That's from this year's PCPS CPA firm top issues survey that came out from the AICPA recently. So we're all struggling to find qualified staff. So I guess the $64,000 question that everyone wants to answer is how do we do it, right? How do we go about recruiting top talent in today's kind of changing and increasingly complex environment?
Yeah, the unemployment rate's historically low, you know, it's 3.6%. And many of the people in which the firms are looking for are in such high demand. Mm-hmm. And that we follow that stat, you know, here at Robert Half. We've been looking at, you know, college age workers, 25 years of age and older, that have graduated from the university. So that would give them, 3 years experience or greater. That unemployment rate's about half of that national average. Wow. In the United States. So you talk about 1.8%. I've been doing this for 35 years and, you know, in the recruiting industry. And I grew up in public accounting. I've never seen it like this. So not only are the firms and the public accounting firms looking for the talent, but they're also competing with industry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's always been difficult to find a senior. Right? It's always been that 3 to 5 year, 3 to 6 year person has always been difficult, be it audit, tax, consulting. But now the competition with industry is so fierce. So how do you do it? You know, you never stop recruiting. It's a 365 year or a day year event. It's not something that's going to just happen where you turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work like that. So advice, make it an ongoing priority. Time block on the calendar. Make sure that you're having team meetings to continually connect about that. I have always found that, you know, the clients that we serve and the clients that I work with, when I'm asked this question, say, okay, how often are you meeting as a team? Partners, managers, depending upon the size of the firm, whoever's in HR, and, you know, you're recruiting. How many how many external recruiters do you have working on the project to help? So it's always be recruiting, number one. Number two, review your compensation on an ongoing basis. You know, I get asked, well, we can't compete with the big firms. Well, if you're a smaller firm, then you have to look at what does appeal to the candidate. What does appeal to the job seeker? Do you have a work-life balance? Do you have ongoing training? Do you have, you know, besides competitive pay, what are the other, what's your culture? Because culture right now is the new currency. I'll quote a friend of mine and a colleague from Microsoft who used that term in a webinar not too long ago with me. And he said, you know, culture is the new currency. Because the candidates today that are the most highly sought after, and I'll say, you know, the new grad right through to that first-year manager, you know, those are the ones where we see the most fierce competition. They're looking for companies that offer all these benefits. And the last but not least, to go along with the culture, is those candidates, and all candidates today, I would say in the Gen Y, Gen Z category, are looking for sustainable, socially responsible companies. Mm-hmm. So if your firm has, you know, a cancer walk, if it has a bike ride, or you're, you know, just, you know, whatever the case may be, make sure that you're stressing that to your to the ongoing public through your social media channels.
Right.
Have people that are pushing that out, because that's an attractant today.
Right.
I would say those are three or four things that really come to the forefront of my mind when I'm coaching clients.
Yeah. And you know, so, and you bring up an interesting point, because I hear a lot about those types of things these days, culture being huge, sustainability, work with purpose, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it tends to be things that we, you know, apply to the younger generations as folks who want these types of things. And I guess my question is it really that generational? I mean, I think I heard somebody say everybody wants that type of stuff. It's just that the younger folks are louder about it nowadays than the other generation. So, I mean, how generational is this type of thing, or do these types of things, you know, run the gamut and apply to everybody?
I'll answer the short answer and then the long answer. The short answer, it does apply to everybody. I would say, though, in my journey, you know, being in business now for close to 40 years, and, you know, in university prior to that, it wasn't in the front of the mind. We thought resources were going to be here forever. We thought that the water, yes, you know, you and I lived through and probably saw, for instance, one of the Great Lakes and the whole Great Lakes community get, you know, cleaned up. I grew up in a steel town. I saw that, you know, things get better environmentally through my childhood and into my, you know, into my young adult when I was living there. Today, though, this has been an ongoing mantra for every generation. Call it boomer, you know, what not as important for them, but Gen X, it started to, you know, perk up a little bit. Gen Y and Gen Z, this has been something, depending upon where you live, that's been ingrained in these people, you know. I remember moving to California 25 years ago and my wife saying, well, I can't send the kids to school with plastic bags. I can't send the kid, yeah, because it's zero tolerance and it's for any waste. So everything that went to school in their lunch had to come back to home. That was my aha moment that, you know, maybe California was a little ahead of the pace, but I'm seeing that now everywhere. That type of a mantra. So these you know, 30-somethings, you know, Gen Y and Gen Z have really grown up with this as forefront of mind. So it's a little more important today. And I'm, you know, quite frankly, I think it's important more to all age groups.
So that brings up a good point. I mean, how else has hiring changed in this kind of changing and complex world? I mean, obviously things like sustainability and culture, those
are fairly new things that employers and potential employees kind of look at. What else is different about the hiring game lately?
Well, I would say I go back to when I was being recruited by the Big Eight and the international and regional firms back in quite a while ago to today. It was always important to have a great great point average. It was always important to have some internship experience or work experience, and it was always important to the firms, at least the firms that I interviewed with, to have the ability to converse, the ability to carry on a conversation, be interesting. They were looking, at least from an audit perspective, would this person that they were, the job seeker, the student, have the ability to represent the firm well out on an audit? I would say that that's that aspect. Yes, GPA is still important. Schooling is very important. Work experience is very important. But I would put a little, a highlight on the soft skills, the non-technical skills. Mm-hmm. And this is not only for firms, but this would go for, industry. The computer is doing more. Technology is doing more today for the worker. There's not as much time, when I used a foot and CrossFit lead statements and work paper documentation. Today, a lot of that is, being done through technology. So the need for the soft skills, the need for, relationship building, the ability to communicate with the client internally, either internally with your colleagues and your peer group, and up and down the chart, the org chart, but also with your clients. I'd say very important. Teamwork is being focused on more today than ever before. Diversity of thought is highly prized. So what I'm talking about here are soft skills or non-technical skills that can be developed in many different ways and are prized by the employer, because these are indicators. Yes, the GPA and the work experience are indicators that you're going to be a good employee right out of the gate. You're bright, for instance, or you're a quick learner. However, these other skills, the non-technical, would give you a sign of the promotability of the individual that can go on to the next level. And so my feeling is, and the feedback I'm getting from clients, is that they're looking at these soft skills more today than they ever have. Not to say they didn't before, but that today it's prized.
Which is kind of as it should be, because every report, every white paper, piece of research that we have seen about the future of the profession points to the fact that those are the types of skills that, CPAs and accounting and finance pros are really going to have to master in order to stay relevant going forward. When you talk about working in an age of automation, those are the types of skills that are going to set us apart. So,
yes.
I was going to ask about hiring best practices, but I think that's the wrong phrase or word. What I'm looking for, I guess, is who's doing, have you seen any organizations out there that are doing something really kind of unique or groundbreaking or just setting themselves apart from the rest of the pack in terms of recruitment and retention and that type of thing? What kind of interesting practices are you seeing out there?
Yeah, there's some really good ones that I see right now. Well, again, everybody's, fighting for the, in a competitive, fierce hiring environment, they're fighting for the best candidates. They're fighting for all the candidates, at 1.8% unemployment effectively for many of the people that we're chatting about. You have to get very creative. No, creative to a point. So what are they doing? They're looking at it and they're saying, they're challenging themselves internally. Do I have a realistic job description? What are the must-haves and what are the nice-to-haves? Mm-hmm. And they're focusing and they're really bifurcating those more so today than I've ever seen. So what might happen is that job description might go down to say, well, maybe I'll get 75% of what I need in the person, and I'll train up on the rest.
Right.
What's mandatory skill sets that are necessary to complete this job? And then they're focused on the soft skills or the non-technical skills to build the case for the hire. Because again, like I said before, that's going to be prime indicators for future promotability within the firm. So that's number one. Number two, I just mentioned it. They can train up on the rest of the skills that are not there. It's harder to find the soft skills than it is the hard skill in some instances. So those nice to haves, they are investing more in training. And that's where many of the associations come in. That's when, the NASBA courses come in, CPE, and they're really, and by the way, some of these are so available online that, if they have a high aptitude for learning, and they're, for instance, they could be right off campus, that would say that they're still in the learning, continuous learning mode, and they just move forward with that. So those are two things that come to mind right away, Bill, that I know have been very successful for companies to get around this low unemployment. They really are challenging themselves as a team to break the mold and break the thinking of what they hired in the past in order to get creative to fill the needs today.
Yeah. And that's getting them in the door. Step two is keeping them there, right? Any suggestions on best practices that you're seeing for retaining top talent once you've got them hooked?
This is where most companies are falling down today. So look at it this way. You just hired somebody. It took you 4 to 6 weeks to get them through the interview process and hired after their resignation from their old firm, if they were employed, and you finally got them on board. Okay. And it's that onboarding process that is so critical. 60 to 90 days, assign a peer mentor to help them. And this is the informal peer mentor, someone to help them with questions that are going to help them navigate the new organizational culture. So critical. Mm-hmm. Assign them a professional mentor, someone within the organization that's going to help them professionally map out where are they going, to stay in touch with them on a continuous basis, because this is what's happened. In the first 3 to 6 months, if that candidate's been active before they joined you, they're still getting solicited on offers that they turned down or applications that they put forward or former employers that want them to boomerang back to them.
Right.
So remember what we first talked about. Always be recruiting.
Right.
That's not just you that's being the always be recruiting. That's everybody. Mm-hmm. So, and that could be, somebody that's meeting at a golf tournament or a tennis tournament, a networking event with a professional organization. They're going to always be asking, how's it going? And if they're truly happy, they're going to say, I love what I'm doing. I have great connectivity with my supervisors. I have great connectivity with my peers. The culture's strong. I'm being trained. So again, how do you retain them? Invest in training. Yeah. Evaluate what's needed, and then sit with them on a formal basis. What used to be semi-annual, we're saying on a formal basis, do it on a quarterly basis today. On an informal basis, at the minimum, monthly. That is going to help engage them into your firm, see how they're doing, be an open door, and then help with that retention. So it's engagement and retention leads to success.
Yeah. And boy, we could spend all day on employee engagement too. That's a whole other thing as well. Great tips there. So that's hiring new talent. How about getting hired? I mean, what should new graduates be doing to kind of ensure that they have a leg up on getting the jobs that they really want to get?
Well, first and foremost, I'm going to back up a little bit and say, if you're a freshman and you're undeclared major, do your homework.
Mm-hmm.
Do your homework. What's the prognosis today of the future hiring within that field of study? Today, I can say that accounting, finance majors, data analytics majors, computer science majors, the future is bright. for those individuals. Where is it leading me and where do I want to go? You know, because not every student should go into the aforementioned majors. You know, there's some really good liberal arts programs that, you know, could lead them into whatever career path that they want. But don't make the investment in yourself until you know where you're going. I had the luxury of having some guidance from people that have gone before me that lead me through to accounting major. I knew as a freshman, I wanted to be an accountant. I knew that if I graduated in 1980, I was going to get some offers. And when unemployment was very high, I had choices, which was great. But I knew that was why, you know, one of the reasons I went into accounting. Not only did I like it, but I knew I could make a living out of it. So look for practical work experience as a student. Make sure that you're getting involved with internship. If you don't have the ability to get an internship, look at temporary work. One thing today is many sophomores, juniors are digital natives. As a digital native, you would know Excel. You pick it up, very quickly. There's temporary work for Excel specialists. Network on campus and join specific organizations. Mm-hmm. A couple come to mind for me. I sit on a couple advisory boards or boards. One is Beta Alpha Psi. You know, as a finance, IT, or accounting major, I love the what happens in Beta Alpha Psi and the way that they generate not only socially responsible projects, but they also demonstrate and hone those soft skills that are so valued we talked about earlier.
Right.
Another one is Enactus. Enactus is a worldwide organization. I sit on the advisory board here in the U.S. and just a great organization that helps sharpen these soft skills. Other things you can do is, you know, hone your LinkedIn profile, make sure that you're getting some, you know, guidance from the career resource centers and your advisors on campus. Network. When it's a meet the firms night, you go.
Go meet the firms.
When you're invited or you see something that's, yes, you might be busy studying, but, you know, take it from me firsthand. I worked hard to get the grades that I got. I was a grinder. It didn't come easy. Sometimes I neglected those networking events, and I didn't wake up until I was a junior and start networking with the accounting firms and that. But it paid off. It's never too late, I guess. But start early. You know, if you know where you're going as a freshman or sophomore, go down that path, and then just, you know, continue to branch out and be curious, whatever field of study, ask questions, attend sessions with executives or visitors from off campus where you can ask the question, how did you get to where you are today? Listen to webinars, listen to podcasts. They really have valuable information and are so available with the technology that we have today. So that's just some words of advice that I would give.
No, those are great, great words of advice. I wish I had somebody telling me that when I was in college. It would have helped, I'm sure. Gosh, time's winding down here, Paul. But, you know, if there's one thing that organizations could do, you could just boil it down to like one tip that they can go out and start working on tomorrow that would give them an edge in this like calling it the war for talent nowadays. And that seems what it is in a lot of ways. What would that be? What one thing do you think your average organization could start doing tomorrow that would help them out this way?
Well, I would, maybe it's a two-part answer in a sneaky way to answer it two ways. Because you only ask for one.
You can pick as many as you want.
Yeah, I would say demonstrate how you've helped employees grow their careers and how you can do the same for the job seeker. Mm. You know, this includes professional growth, work-life balance perspectives, financially, but set yourself apart. But the second part of this is, how do you demonstrate it is that check your social media outreach. You know, when I say that to some smaller firms, they say, we don't have the budget. This can be cheap and cheerful. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a PhD in social media to do it. So what can you do? Where are the students today? They're on Instagram. Okay. Where are the more, they're on LinkedIn. Where are the more experienced jobs here? LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Some of them are on Facebook. You know, they read blogs. So what's your blog look like? Who in the firm can you enlist the help of to do this? Does everybody in the firm post if they did a external event, for instance, a leukemia ride for cause they just did, or a walk for cancer? Who's taking the photo and posting and building the culture, demonstrating that it's a community, demonstrating that they have the best interest? Who's writing a blog? Maybe share the responsibility with various people around the firm, where it's, you know, this is my journey. They really like to hear about the personal journey of the professional, how things have worked out for them, the promotability, the types of clients that they're working on, the diversity of thought that's within the firm. These are all things. So all things you can demonstrate, but those are good secrets if you're not sharing them, or bad secrets. Yeah. So the thing is share it. That's where they're trafficking today. That's where the student that's graduating, that's where the young professionals located. And for that matter, the mid-career is also there, because it's becoming more important to them. The people that are boomeranging back into the workforce, maybe after a maternity or a paternity, are looking for this type of cultural fit that you could demonstrate through social media.
Interesting. And in the same way that you said that the organizations, one of the things that they should demonstrate is that their ability to kind of help new hires down the career path and to help develop them personally and professionally. Shouldn't new hires also come prepared to demonstrate to potential employers that, hey, I'm someone who can be developed in terms of being a lifelong learner? It just seems like that's the type of employee that I'd be looking for, is somebody who has that mentality of, I need to never stop learning in a world that's changing this quickly.
You're hitting on a topic that, you know, I just was at a U.S. conference back in May, and I had about 65 students in front of me, and they were peppering me with questions. It was like ask the executive type of a session. Mm-hmm. And this came up, a piece of advice from me to that group. And yes, know that you're a constant learner. Demonstrate you want to be a constant learner. But also, there's two things. Be flexible. That this is what I think today I want to do. I'm not, you know, it sounds great. So don't hedge yourself or hem yourself in. You are, you know, demonstrate flexibility. You know, this is where you think you want to go. This is, but I'm open to opportunities. Secondly, when you approach this conversation, be deferential. That's the word that came up in that session of with the 65 students. Is, you know, make sure that you're not so headstrong that you only want and so, you know, determined to get one place. Yes, it's nice to say, I want to be a partner someday. But then at the same time, I understand I have a lot to learn. I understand that, you know, things can change. But my path today is, I think that, you know, an audit partner could be my calling. And I'm willing to work hard and be a continuous learner. And then ask advice. What do you think I could learn in the meantime, right now, to help me on that path?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gosh, it really is an extraordinary time that we're working through right now. But when you consider how low unemployment is, particularly in our profession, and any signs that this is, you know, the pendulum is going to start swinging back in the other direction? I mean, what's it looking like to you in the short term going forward?
Well, I always I get asked the question by many people, and I often say that if I had a crystal ball, I'd be able to retire early. But I don't have a crystal ball. I would say right now that, you know, if you're a student, then focus on the things we chatted about, because the it doesn't look like it's going to subside anytime soon for the professional, in technology, the professional in accounting, finance, even some management and marketing majors, and individuals that are digital native with strong soft skills and have really reached out and gotten some work experience before graduation. That's number one. I'd say that the future looks bright. Number two, and when you're thinking about going for the fifth year, then get serious about studying. Is the CPA the path for me? And, bite the bullet sometimes to get, creative on how you're going to get that fifth year. But the future looks bright. As an employer, I would say just, keep challenging yourself and the staff. How are we going to find the best people? Where are some of the people that left us working today? And have we built a good network? And are we in constant communication? Are we truly spending 52 weeks a year recruiting? Or are we, pressing the brake and then pressing the gas, pressing the brake? And, that really is an area where I think a lot of firms can get on the gas for 52 weeks a year. But, in general, I think it's a great time to be a professional. I think, you have good choices today. But don't leave things too early. I see, people jumping too early from firm to firm or into industry. Learn things. And the grass is not always greener. And, if you really are having constant communication with your management team as an employee, a lot of things can be adjusted in order for you to, not have to change firms all the time.
Right. Well, Paul McDonald, great insights, great tips. Thanks. Thanks for your time and for your insights. This has been a great conversation.
No, thank you very much, Bill.
That was Paul McDonald, Senior Executive Director at Robert Half. You can learn more at roberthalf.com. Among other things, that's where you'll find Robert Half's most recent salary guides for the profession. They also have a terrific new white paper. It's called Jobs and AI Anxiety, The Future of Work, Adapting to Technological Change. It offers some great insights about how emerging technologies are redefining the way people work, about the five transformative technologies affecting the workplace of the future, and about the many ways that robotics, AI, and other technologies are improving business functions and the jobs that either don't exist yet or are poised to take off soon. So you can download that white paper at the Robert Half website. That's roberthalf.com. And remember, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. And we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering these future ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning. That's all I got for you, gang. Have a great week. We'll talk again next week.